Hear that?
Hey, G, you hear that? Sounds like a couple of fireflies.
Welcome to The Book Club with Woke and the Bloke, tentative title. You will be joined by your co-hosts, Chi, the woke one, and Brendan, the bloke. We're covering, first off, Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng, and we'll be doing a few chapter chunks at a time. This is literally our first ever podcast, so please be kind. We did no research, no planning, no notes, so it's a little bit choppy-changey, but we'll definitely improve later.
Whoa. Emotional defensiveness. Plus one.
Here we go. Section one, let's start with the plot.
The plot.
I'm going to check my notes. So section one, so we covered the first three chapters, chapter one to chapter three. And we learn about the Richardson family and the Mia and Pearl family, whose name last name I forgot. Essentially,
Mia and Pearl.
Chapter one, we find out, and it starts with people talking about gossip from the spring and summer. And they're like, nah, this is going to be way more gossiper.
More gossipy.
Because the Richardson family home has been burnt down. And it appears that there were little fires everywhere, burnt out in every bedroom, that sparked the fire. Mrs. Richardson was home sleeping, even though it was like 1 to 2 p.m.
So I found this to be very confusing.
Yeah, because...
Starting point. 12 daytime or 12 nighttime?
Daytime. So she said she slept in late. Saturday, like 1 p.m., 2 p.m., starts burning. She runs out of the house. She's the only one in the house. Also weird, Lexi, her oldest daughter, was at her friend Serena's house and was also sleeping at the same time, quote unquote, because her and her best friend Serena were staying up late chatting, whatever. So Lexi was sleeping. Her mum was sleeping. Trip, the next kid, was out at soccer. Moody was apparently at the library. The dad, we don't know anything about.
Why do you say apparently?
Because there's this scene between, there's this dialogue between the kids where they were like, oh, it's obviously Izzy, the youngest. They're like, oh, they don't even actually explicitly say it was obviously Izzy. They just all use assumptive language, like when she's got to be in so much trouble when she comes home, as though she definitely did it. And then Moody's the only one that's like, well, how do you know she did it? One of them was like, they go through the list of every character. They're like, well, mum was there, dad was there, I was there, you were there. And you were what? You were at the library, right? And he hesitated. And he was like, yes. So I've got my theories on that anyway. Unless I'm remembering wrong. Then we go into chapter two. And we learn a little bit more about Shaker Heights. And how Stepford Wivesy community it is. Like, it's all got all these rules where they can't put rubbish bins out the front because it makes the houses look bad, and they've got the two-story terraces that look, they're actually two separate apartments for poor people, but it looks like a one nice single-fronted terrace at the front.
These are the exact rules that I make all of my Sims follow.
Do you seriously still play Sims?
No comment.
Or your Warcraft characters. But the nice thing about this chapter is that we learn a little bit more about Mrs. Richardson. So in the first chapter, you think she's a little bit like super rich in her clothes, in her whatever called, like sleeping gown.
She is super rich.
But they imply, well, maybe I just read into it that maybe she had a really boozy night. Maybe she's an alcoholic and she sleeps late and blah, blah, blah. But then, and maybe she's classic Stepford wife with four kids, and they're all super rich, and they've got an arched driveway into their house. But then you hear about in chapter two a little bit more around how she inherited this rental property, an investment property, from her parents after they died. And given they didn't grow up with a lot of money, her way of giving back is trying to help people in the community who want to move into Shaker Heights but can't afford to. So she's doing the whole giving back to the community. She doesn't really use the investment property for money. It's more around giving people a go, which I respect. So she's tried different people, young couples or whatever. And then we finally learn about Mia and Pearl. Mia's the one that is an artist, and Pearl is a super smart, switched on, beautiful 15-year-old girl. And apparently they're moving into the area because the schools are great, and they're public schools. Public schools in good, in rich areas are basically like private schools anyway, because the parents are so pretentious and high demanding that the teachers' quality is better anyway.
Very high council rates.
High council rates. That's true. Did they say that in there too?
Or you just... Yeah, very specifically, but Mia doesn't... Mia doesn't need to worry about them because she's paying rent. She's not paying the council fees as well. It's a, you know, reasonable rent price.
Oh, so. You mean like, yeah, like council rates and like...
City taxes.
Yeah, bloody city taxes. Okay. And then in chapter 3, we get a bit of a deep dive into Mia and Pearl through the eyes of the 15-year-old Moody. Now, he's a little bit awkward, I think. He's not as charming and cool and smart as his older two sisters. And Izzy, his younger sister, is a bit of a, like, sounds like she's an emo. We don't know yet. But at least she doesn't care. Whereas he's always, like, caring about everyone's opinion.
Is emo still a thing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
I think so. Anyway, so we really learn about Mia and Pearl through the eyes of Moody. And we learn a lot from their life and how different their lifestyle is. And then right at the end of chapter 3, he tells his parents that he's been hanging out with Pearl. And then they all meet.
Well, he's quite worried that she's going to find him boring.
That's right.
If he doesn't keep introducing her to new things.
That's right. So he keeps showing her all these different places in the neighborhood.
Yeah, and she's rather intimidated when she sees the big driveway. Or intimidated is not a word, but it's a huge house and she can't believe how different...
That's right. That's
Moody's
right.
Moody's lifestyle is. It feels like he was really keeping that...
secret.
A little bit hidden from her, right?
Well, what does that mean? Do you reckon that she'll take it as like a... what's it called? Like a betrayal?
I don't think so, no.
All right.
I don't think so.
All right, so this is a plot overview for the first three chapters. Are you intrigued?
Yeah, I am. I mean, like, for an initial point, my first take is that it is like, you know, yes, rich people have secrets too and bad stuff happens in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Which...
that feels like it's going to be the theme of the whole book, right? Like, there's a lot of gossip about everybody. I mean, it starts talking about gossip in chapter one.
Yes. And it's one of those things where technically... those kind of stories are quite popular. You see, like, you know, Gossip Girl, The OC.
Both very...
Big Little Lies. You know,
recent examples. Fantastic.
Big Little Lies. But is it one of those things where are we making it worse for the industry by, you know, supporting these stories when really we should be supporting stories about people who are struggling more than these rich people? We can talk about that later. But... I agree. I think the theme will be how rich people have problems too. We're all human, you know?
Exactly. And that's a great thing about the stories, right?
All right. So any initial reactions or takes?
Reasonably easy read. Got through the chapters pretty quickly.
I meant about the plot.
Oh, about the plot.
But yes, agree.
Not 100% sure what's going on. I don't have any great suspicions on who set the fire.
Oh, okay. I do.
Let's hear it.
I reckon... so there was this weird... actually, I forgot to say in the first chapter, there was like a scene of the night before the fire where Mrs. Richardson was waiting for Mia and Pearl to drop off their keys.
Oh, so they're moving away.
So they were obviously kicked out or moving away. Leaving. So there's a potential. I actually think it was a combined effort of Moody, the 15-year-old son, and Pearl. Because Mrs. Richardson fucked her family, her mum and her over. And Moody was too far deep in, like, in love with her. That's my theory for now.
Wow.
As it stands, I have a really strong gut feeling about that.
That could definitely be the case.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of chapter 3, we see Mr. Richardson.
Yes.
Working that grill.
Super three-dimensional character so far.
Pairing New Balances on.
Yeah.
Fired up a big old steak. Accidentally left the grill on. House burns down.
Okay. Is that actually your theory?
No.
Look, we'll throw it in the ring. Kind of doesn't help with the little fires everywhere comment by the firefighters, but maybe they're in on it too, you know, because they're so rich they can bribe anyone to tell any story. And that's the other dimension of rich people, because they're so rich they can pay people off.
Oh,
so
intrigue.
other reactions and takes. Do you know what Manic Pixie Dream Girl?
No.
No, no, no. Wait, hang on. Can you search that for me?
Yeah, I'll Google that right now.
Manic Pixie Dream Girl. It sounds very similar to that. Search.
It's a stock character type in films.
Yes, okay. Right. So my concern, my take is, although we've learned a lot about Pearl, that my fear so far, she's a very much a Manic Pixie Dream Girl character, which is always in a lot of stories, it's like a vessel for a man to learn about themselves and grow. And the girl is always very two-dimensional, like she's super smart, always beautiful, like doesn't have really strong swinging emotions because she's a cool girl, all this stuff. I don't know, have you watched Yes Man, Jim Carrey?
Classic.
Yeah, Zooey Deschanel's character is a Manic Pixie Dream Girl. It's like she's perfect, and really the story is about him, and he only sees her as like a one-dimensional thing for him to lust and love, as opposed to someone going through their own arc. Anyway.
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting, right, that we only learn about Pearl through Moody's point of view.
Well, yes. So what are you saying?
So almost everything is going to be idealized about her. So we only see one side of her.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he sees her in a very single-dimensional way.
Good point. And he's 15.
15-year-old boy.
And I do like, though, that there's... It seems like he's drawn to the very artistic side of their family. The poetry, the photography, blah, blah, blah.
Well, this is a whole new world for him.
Yes. It's really hard to tell what he thinks or what he likes yet, but we'll see. Any other initial reactions or takes?
Looking forward to seeing what's next.
All right. Section 3. What's totally unbelievable? Is there anything that shouts out from the first 3 chapters?
$500 per month rent.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Seems ridiculously low.
What was that for me and Pearl's thing?
Yeah.
$500 a month, so American.
Well, interesting. I'm not sure what timeline this is set
in. Oh, it's 1997. So, yeah, you're
How
right.
How do you know this?
It's written somewhere.
When you when you Google the plot synopsis? No.
It comes up in... Wait.
Right, I'm sure that it's
somewhere. I thought I read it somewhere. Because not to be like all new age, but if it was in the last 5-10 years, that all those kids would have phones.
Well, yeah, this is kind of my point, right? Like,
I'm pretty sure I've read 1997 somewhere.
Because there's points in there where they're talking about, like, you know, maybe even they'll get a TV. And I think they use fact that Moody's family has 2 TVs as kind of a sign of how affluent they are.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really sure what time it was exactly set in. So that's not necessarily something that's unbelievable, but very cheap rent.
Well, what do we know about have you heard of Shaker Heights before?
No. So is this based on a real thing?
I think it's a real place. It sounds familiar. And then this whole thing about Shakers. Have you heard of Shakers before?
I assumed it was some kind of like Freemason
maybe
equivalent.
Yeah, because the way they talk about it is very much like it was, they designed the city to be their perfect community. It's a real place?
It's a real place.
What's the dealio? What's the population? Give us some stats.
It's in Ohio.
It's near Cleveland, yes. That's what it says, yeah.
It's established in 1911 and incorporated in 1912.
Oh, these were all facts in the book, so it's legit.
David Weiss is the mayor. Population 28,448.
That's tiny. Wait, it's a suburb? Or is it a town?
Suburb. Yeah, suburb.
The way they describe it is just like huge mansions everywhere. Beautiful. For some reason, when I imagine these like American designed in the last 100 years or so towns, it's all like wide streets, tree lined, huge blocks of land. Everyone has a pool. Everyone's house is 2 levels. I think that's all it is. That's how I'm imagining. Based on the description, that's how I'm imagining.
Yeah, it's a really idealistic suburb.
Yeah. Anything else is unbelievable. I think the thing that's unbelievable is how many people were sleeping at 2 p.m. on a Saturday. Oh, I do it sometimes, but I'm like, I feel like when you're this rich, you're like a super productive family. Like rich kids are usually like really like productive and high performing, and they don't let their kids.
It's a massive assumption.
I don't know. Maybe it's a Saturday. You've got a year 9, year 10, year 11, year 12 kid. And what? Oh no, one of them's playing soccer. One's at the library. One's burning the house down. one's asleep. Fine. All right, fine. Anything about the family that thinks I'm unbelievable? Richardson family.
Unbelievable family. No, I think they seem like a pretty normal kind of family, right?
All right, what about me and Pearl? All right, what about... Much surely more interesting. You have some take about Mia.
I really like Mia. I think she's a great character.
What do you like about her?
I think she represents everything that's opposite to the Richardsons, right? So it's very much a setting up to...
Worlds collide.
Yeah, absolutely. And I noticed it's that really idealistic lifestyle where you can travel the world, be an artist.
I suppose it's unbelievable, I think, how extreme these two families are, and for their kids to not have as many cultural clashes and issues that have arisen from judgment from both sides. Like, I would say, given Pearl's upbringing and Moody's upbringing is so extreme. I don't know. I feel like at 15, you're not dumb. Like, you're at an age where...
No, they both seem really intelligent, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there'd be a bit more angst or a bit more clashing of, like, adolescent judgment. Like, you do things that way. Like, what the fuck? Your mum, like, what do you mean she spends 6 months on a project and then deletes it? Or what do you mean she sells things for a mil and then refuses to recreate it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to come up in later chapters.
So you reckon they're just like both?
Well, I think we're like three chapters in and...
All right.
Everything we're getting is from Moody's point of view, like the way that he sees the world. He's really enthralled in this new, like, you know, new world, new girl, things he's never seen before in his life. So all right. Seems fantastic and shiny from the outside. And we end the chapter with Pearl being introduced to his family for the very first time.
Oh, and what's the last line of the third chapter?
Well, who do we have here?
And who says that? Lexi?
That was Lexi, yeah.
Lexi. All right. Lexi's going to stir some shit up. All right.
Yeah, so see. So I think the worlds are absolutely going to collide in the following chapters.
All right.
And we possibly are seeing the result of that in chapter one.
Now... Do we think Mirabelle McAuliffe and Mei Ling Chow will ever be mentioned again?
They got their one line. That's all they needed.
Literally the first page. And I was like, oh, I better make note of their names. Like, oh, I got to figure out how to pronounce this name.
Never
mentioned again.
I think we'll hear from them again. I don't think we're going to get to the bottom of what happened to either of them. Yeah. I think it's really there. And we're going to be seeing that people are so caught up in other people's lives. Gossiping about others, they don't necessarily see what's happening
in their own lives.
The fires that might be started in their own lives.
Whoa. Okay, next section, defining moments. Any key defining moments for the first three chapters that you think will make a big impact to the rest of the story?
Absolutely, I think the defining moment has to be when Moody first met Pearl.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Creepy?
He was like staring at her for ages where she was trying to set up her bed. Right?
I didn't get the creepy vibe. That wasn't what I took from it.
Wasn't he like, I feel like it was across the road. She was trying to set up the bed. She was getting the slats and shit out of the car. And then she put the mattress down and then she like fell down onto the mattress like an angel. And
from his point of view again though, right? So he can't believe this girl that he's just met. Fine. And he even says himself during the chapter that he split his life. From the moment when he first saw her and everything that came afterwards from that.
Or like before Pearl, BP,
BP,
AP. BP, AP.
And AP. He says that himself as the defining moment in his life. I think, again, and this is why we're still getting this one-dimensional view of her, right? Because it is completely him telling us. And he may or may not be a reliable narrator to this story. But I really think that's the defining moment that, you know, for the rest of the book, it's going to be based on the fact that they met each other.
True. But how do we think this defining moment relates to the first defining moment, which was the fire? Why are we learning about these two stories in parallel? I mean, sequentially, but you know.
Well, I think it's exactly that, right? Because that is the moment that started all of this. I think we'll look back, and if Moody had never met Pearl,
fires
don't start.
Maybe. Another defining moment seems to be one we haven't fully got to yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be the two families colliding right at the end. So I think we'll look back again and see that potentially if the Mia and Pearl hadn't met Lexi and Tripp and the parents, the fire wouldn't have happened.
Absolutely.
All right. How far back in time do we think we're going back to when Moody meets Pearl? Because I don't know if they necessarily say. So what timeline are we looking at here?
I think it's definitely a month, right? Like, they're still children.
A month?
No, months.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe one. I'm not sure. It's not years or anything, right? Like, it's scale of months.
I'm going to say 6 months. I'm going to say fire happened, rewind 6 months, Moody goes and meets Pearl, like, falls in love with her, and then after maybe, like, a month and a half, 2 months of just being able to have her to himself, he then...
Well, it was the previous June. So within a year.
From what?
The June before the fire is when...
And the fire was...
I don't think it actually says.
Okay. Okay, so within a year, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right.
All
right. It actually does. Afternoon on that Saturday in May. So it's almost a full year.
Ooh, okay, okay.
Almost a full year.
All right, summer to summer situation.
Mm.
Okay. Ah, oh, okay, so maybe that kind of forgives them... I don't know, May is kind of like exam time, right? I was going to say maybe that forgives them for just like taking it easy on a Saturday.
No, anyway. They got trials.
Look, I'm saying as people in our late 20s on Saturdays and Sundays, sure, we don't do anything. We probably like watch YouTube until 2, 3 p.m. But when you've got kids and you've got a family of four, like those families are active. All right, anyway. Next section, who do we love? Think you've already said it. You've already said
Mr. Richardson. He works the shit out of that grill. Of course.
You wish he would be Mr. Richardson.
Dude can make a steak, I'm telling you.
All right, your next favorite character.
Definitely Mia. I really like Mia.
Why do you love Mia?
I just think it's really cool. The idea of being able to sort of move between the country, very carefree.
What does that say? Why does that romanticism appeal to you so much?
Because it's just so different to everyone who lives in Shaker Heights, right? Like, she's coming in very different to everyone around her. You can tell that she's not necessarily going to play by the rules. And it almost feels like she's got this life thing
mm-hmm.
kind of figured out in a way that maybe the people around her don't.
Interesting.
And how are they going to react to that?
True. I do like the whole, like, anti-capitalism, anti-commercial, like, don't sell myself out, but... still produce such quality stuff that she could make a shit ton of money. I like that thing. I like that part about it. I think it would be harder to like her as much if she wasn't such a good artist and she was putting her daughter through unnecessary stuff.
Well, they still move every sort of 6 months, right? So I wonder
if that
will be uncovered during the book.
Do you think it's like a Stockholm Syndrome situation happening where the daughter doesn't know anything different? It's kind of like those movies where there's like a movie called like Hannah. Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Or where it's like, you know, parents that raise their kids in a tech-free world and they raise them in the jungle. And then I feel like you would love that. And then the kids kind of like get absolutely attached to that way of life and that lifestyle and that way of thinking. And it's not a bad thing that they are for it. It's just that where they're not exposed to anything else, they don't have any other opinions or any other.
And how's that going to change she's met Moody?
Well, yeah, I suppose this is slightly different because apparently she's quite like academic. So it's not like she's not getting outside perspectives or... It's not like she doesn't know how other people live. And
well, when they throw the keys in the mailbox and drive off, I wonder how Pearl feels about that at the time. Will she be so carefree about this time? Because now she's got Moody that she'll have to be moving away from.
And planning the fire with. True. Okay, anyone else you love? I think I agree. I love Mia as well. I love the idea of Pearl. I hope we get more substance from her. I actually really like Moody. I feel like him having two older siblings, I know like they're like all like clever and charming and carefree or whatever. I think I can relate to being an adolescent who just thinks that everybody else has got it figured out and you don't.
Mm.
I can relate to his like desperation to want to feel like a connection, and then he meets Pearl and he's like, bing, that's it. Whether or not it's real, we'll see. How do you feel about Izzy?
I think we really know a heap about her, right? It's all very secondhand.
Mm.
I think one of the cool things about the book, at least so far, has been different point of views. So I'm very interested when we get to the Izzy chapter and see how she sees all of this stuff. I think she'll have a lot in common with Mia and she'll click really well.
Mm.
You know, sort of anti-establishment, doesn't believe in this, you know, bullshit world of Shaker Heights, etc.
Does she then start... taking Mia as like a mother figure over her own mother.
I'm telling you, it could go lots of different ways.
All right, no, that's a good That's a good prediction. I do love somebody else. I'm trying to remember.
It's Mr. Richardson.
No, it's not.
It's the grill master.
No, Mrs. Richardson. I liked her in when we learned more about her. Like, it's kind of like why you like Mia. I like the idea of when I'm rich, I use my money to help other people, because so far to date, any money I've ever made very much comes back to what am I going to spend it on. There is a tipping point that I appreciate where she's like, it's not about the money, it's about helping somebody else and like paying it forward, as Telstra would
say. Yeah, absolutely. She got that booster from the investment property and just had to pass that along. Yeah, I think that's really nice. Yeah.
All right. Section 6, who's annoying? Anyone annoying at this stage?
No one's annoying me at this point.
I'm going to say Mr. Richardson, you know? Like, where is he?
He's working the grill.
Seriously, though, where was he in the morning? I can't remember. Was he at golf? It wouldn't surprise me. Making deals.
Projection.
says me, who's planning a golf session of this weekend.
You play golf now?
I'm getting into it now. Been going to the driving range with Tom.
Nice. We don't know where Mr. Richardson was.
All right, no one annoying so far.
No one yet.
Not even... I should have written the name down. The Asian man that lives at the bottom of the terrace. Seems like a great guy. I forgot to put him in the Who Do We Love section.
He has to be in the Who We Love section. Yeah. We've got Mr. Richardson working the grill. Mr. Yang.
Mr. Yang. Poor Mr. Yang.
He's got those fuzzy Chinese melons.
Yes. Yes, that's right. That's right.
Keeps the grass exactly 6 inches off the ground.
He sounds like my dad. Great. Appreciate it. Looks after the lawn. Does plots around the house all day. All right. Chuck him in the Who Do We Love. Now, who actually, I do think someone is annoying, and that's the Shaker Heights community. I don't like this. I don't like this restricted, overly rules-based. I'm all for, it's not like a nanny state thing. It's more like a rules for the, like, nanny state is very much rules to protect people. This sort of rules-based community is more for projections and showing off and... The bins thing, not being at the front, and a guy going on his freaking, like, Vespa to the back of your house through your driveway to get
your
rubbish.
If you were doing Year 12 English, you would be using the bins as a metaphor for the secrets that all of the families hide. They keep them. It's all about the facade up front, and this is where I see the whole book going, right? It's all about the secrets of people who look very perfect on the outside. But everyone's got those rubbish bins at the back.
Very good take. Great one. Yep, you need to buy a physical paperback.
A paper copy.
Write all that shit down.
Shout outs to Kindle.
All right. Anyone else annoying outside of Shaker Heights?
Not yet. I don't have any predictions on who will become annoying, but I'm sure one of the six characters we've been...
Yeah, I'm feeling...
become a little bit token. Like, I'm not sure that four is the right number of siblings, but we'll...
I'm feeling Trip will be annoying.
He has great hair. There's
apparently,
no reason...
Yes. Yes, and I know men really appreciate great hair. They're like scared of balding. All right. And last one, section 7, plot predictions.
I think
we've covered it, but.
So who started the fire? Is this really where we're heading?
All right. Yeah. You have to have an answer for who started the fire at the end of every pod. All
right. Mrs. Richardson. The reason she was asleep is because she's addicted to pain pills. Took a few too many of those Xannies.
Yeah.
Didn't realise what she was doing. Slept walk, lit the whole house on fire.
Did it in a haze. Okay.
Mr. Richardson, working the grill.
Wait, so you're saying it's both of them?
It could go a lot of different ways.
All right. You know my theory. I am convinced it was Moody. And I just because of the way that we were suddenly introduced to him, and it's so much of his perspective, like, true, you're right, every chapter could be somebody else's perspective. But I just feel like why they're going so hard and from Moody's perspective.
Yeah, I can buy it, right? Like, this, like Pearl is just so new to his life, so different. That's really going to shake him to his core.
Yes, he's going to question...
Defining moment when he met Pearl.
True.
That is what is going to change his life. I can definitely see him doing something crazy with the old family home.
Because he starts questioning material things. Maybe. But and maybe it's linked to the fact that he realized that Mrs. Richardson is depressed and she's on whatever, Ambien, Xanax.
We'll see.
And he's like, oh my God, money doesn't make you happy.
So the prediction is he's doing it from a materialistic perspective.
Well, he's doing it anti-establishment. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. We'll see.
And also because they maybe something like Mia couldn't pay her rent, and so the parents made it seem like it's a financial decision, so why we need to get rid of them. And they're not paying their rent, so we have to kick them out. And he's like, we don't fucking need the money, you blah, 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 blah. Unfortunate for him, as it's mentioned, somebody else, maybe Lexi says it, he probably too young to understand how insurance works. And insurance is the loophole for wealthy people to maintain their wealth.
Everybody knows how insurance works. Another unbelievable fact.
As a 15, 16-year-old, you tell me how the health insurance system works here. Don't get me started, because... it's freaking complicated, but yes, yes, true. Everyone should know how basic insurance principles work.
So it's from a anti-materialistic revenge on his parents. Going to take a slightly different take. I think my genuine prediction, something bad goes on in that house.
Ooh.
Covered up by burning it down.
How bad are you talking?
Bad enough to burn down a house.
Like sacrifice of an animal, cult ritual, or like... oh. Another secret.
Yeah, like the Shakers are real. They're
All right.
We'll see. I think something bad goes down.
Okay.
Burn the house down. Make sure that rubbish.
Yeah.
Stays at the back of the property.
Good loop. Okay, that's it. Look, overall, I think now that the more that we've talked about it, now I'm like, all right, you just leave because I want to keep reading. So we'll read another 3 chapters. I'm looking forward to finding out what happens. I think it was a really, as you said before, it was a really like strong start in terms of keeping me intrigued and engaged with these characters.
I'm engaged.
Now, true, I haven't read a fiction book in a long time that's not Harry Potter, so...
weird flex.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm really good at reading Harry Potter, I know. All right, well, until next time, we will figure out the cadence of this podcast for all you listeners out there. We will figure out a starting jingle that Brennan is refusing to record.
Any shout outs? Who are you shouting out?
Shout out to my nephew Carl, Tom. He's in the other room.
Shout out to Tom.
Shout out to Tom. And we got to figure out how to record this when you're back in Sydney. And we'll see how the quality of this goes, but we're not re-recording this. I'm over talking about it.
Getting content out is more important than getting good content out.
True. Now, how long are the next 3 chapters? Are we doing 3 at a time? Because the first chapter was like 3 pages.
I know. It's hard to say. Like, it feels like we have very little content to actually chew through, right? So the end of chapter 6 would be hell.
So are you suggesting 5 chapters?
I reckon I could probably get to chapter 12.
What? 9 chapters?
Yeah, I reckon I could get to 9 chapters by next week.
Well, it's not a race.
No, but like, I think you need to get through a good chunk to be like...
but enough where there's like enough to talk about. Because if we're making...
well, as I'm flicking through the book, I'm seeing a bunch of different names.
Okay. Let's go 5. Sorry, Nephew Carl. What'd you say?
I'm not Nephew Carl.
All right, we're going to go 5. All right.
5 times is perfect.
Are you still recording?
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
We'll catch you next time. Fire!
What?